Pam Strobel, and I have the privilege of being one of the new trustees of the university, and also the privilege of being the chair of the search committee that is charged with the responsibility of finding the next president for the university. I want to welcome all of you here this afternoon and start by thanking you for taking time out of your busy lives to be here. I know that you wouldn't be here unless you cared very much about the university. We've also received very good comments from people on the email address that's been made available, and I would encourage all of you, if you have additional thoughts after today or you wish to tell your friends and associates, that we will welcome and encourage additional comments through the email address, which is on the university website. We really have received very constructive and helpful comments. I was asked a few minutes ago by one of the reporters how we would use what we're hearing, and I want to assure all of you that there is no way that our 19-member committee could know everything or think of everything that will be useful for us in this very, very important task ahead of us. So, all of the comments are very much appreciated. We have a paper that we're working on that is going to be our description of the ideal candidate, and I can incorporate comments into that document. But also, when we get to the point of actually interviewing candidates, I think it'll be very important for those candidates to hear what we're hearing from the constituents of the university. In these three forums and through the communication using the email address. We had the first of these forums yesterday in Chicago. We're having one on each campus. This is somewhat of a new exercise, I believe, for the university, but it's not new in the search process at other institutions, so we're learning from them as well. Yesterday we were at UIC, same time, 3 to 5, with an open mic. We did it exactly as we're doing here today, so let me tell you how we're going to handle the afternoon. We asked the people who would like to speak to sign up in advance outside, so thank you to those of you who have done that. If I see that there's some people who are coming in who might not have had the chance, we'll make sure that we accommodate those people as well. We're very, very fortunate that yesterday we had a number of committee members who were able to attend the forum. Today we have members of our search committee with us, and I want to introduce them to you. I'll start at the far end with Paula Hayes, who's a member of the administrative staff. And next to Paula is Perzavia Prelo, who is a student. She and I managed our way out of the parking lot together after yesterday's forum. Professor Ollie Watts Davis is a esteemed member of the faculty and on our committee. And probably everyone knows, next to Professor Watts Davis is Dr. Stanley Eikenberry, who is, as of the end of this month, will become our interim president of the university. And once again, while I have you in my eyesight, can I thank you for coming back and helping the university. I am very much looking forward to your comments. I'm not going to try to limit the amount of time that any individual is at the mic. It looks as if we'll have ample time. Oh, and Dr. Wheeler, let me mention, Dr. Matt Wheeler is also a member of our search committee. He's got to step out and do a meeting, but he'll be coming back, and then we'll make you sit up here with us. What I would ask, though, is just that you respect the time of the people behind you. And once you think you've made your point, you can be sure that we will have captured the point. We are recording these sessions so that we have a complete record and can accurately capture the comments we're hearing. So just keep that in mind. But other than that, I don't think I need to give you any kind of instructions other than just to once again say thank you very much for taking the time to come here this afternoon. I'll just start from this list. You can see that we have microphones set up in the auditorium in the middle. If for any reason you're not comfortable making the stairs to get to a microphone, let us know and we'll get one into your hands. The first person on the list is Renee Romano from Student Affairs. Hello.
Thank you. As you said, my name's Renee Romano. I'm the Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs, and I really appreciate the opportunity to speak today. I know you'll be hearing a lot about how this is a great research institution, one of the best in the country, and that our faculty and their accomplishments and contributions are remarkable. So I'm here to talk about the out-of-class experience here at UIUC. The experiences that our students have outside the classroom are truly outstanding. Students call it, we've done focus groups, and students call it a diversity of opportunities. It's a multitude of ways to be engaged in the life of the campus. We have 1,000 student organizations, one of the largest fraternities and sorority systems in the country, outstanding housing and recreational facilities, and one of the most well-respected and notable counseling centers, just to name a few. These facility services and programs are one of the reasons that 42,000 students choose to come to the University of Illinois instead of studying online or going to one of many other public and private universities in the state. It's why parents and families continue to send their students to Illinois for a world-class education. The out-of-class experience here at Illinois is really a great one. In addition to drawing students to our campus, the out-of-class experience is a powerful educational environment. It allows students to learn and develop good communication skills, manage their time, think critically, deal effectively with people of different backgrounds, problem solve, be flexible, and develop all the skills and qualities that employers are looking for in the 21st century. So, I'm speaking for Student Affairs and all of the tens of thousands of students who participate in the culture centers, intramurals, service projects, student organizations, student government, and all the diverse opportunities outside the classroom. We are looking for a president who understands the out-of-class experience and that it is a powerful learning environment, someone who appreciates the fact that the university is more than a collection of buildings and classes. Because once our students experience the University of Illinois, it stays with them for a lifetime. Thanks again for your attention and for this opportunity to speak to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, at Chicago, we clapped after each person. Next on the list is Anna Gonzalez, also Student Affairs.
Hi, my name is Anna Gonzalez, Associate Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs, and I don't mean to make it seem like Student Affairs is taking over this session, although, first of all, I'd like to thank not just the panel, but particularly our students who are here. If you're a student, undergrad and graduate, if you can raise your hand, which is fantastic. In fact, some of the students, some of the ones who are sitting up here were the first ones in line before we were here, and I think that speaks to some of the things that Renee, the Vice Chancellor of Student Affairs, was talking about. I particularly want to emphasize the issue of diversity with regards to the needs and hopefully expectations that we have for our new leadership that's going to come to this campus and our great university. The issue of campus climate is one of the main things that I often hear about in my position and main things that students talk about with regards to having a more cohesive mission and vision about what a truly safe campus climate looks like for them and what kind of positive experiences they will have when they leave this campus so that they're better attuned and committed and look back to their time here and become active as alumni. The other issue that I have with regards to issues of diversity is that my hope is that we will have a leader who will look at cross-cultural engagement as a priority for this campus and that we will truly look at our students not existing in silos, but rather working together, exploring who they are, what they can become together as one community. And finally, I know that there's a lot of history and tradition with certain things that university has, and in many ways, things like the moral plots have become positive and become lore, but there's also traditions that we've celebrated, and we continue to still haunt our university every year. And so I'm hoping for a leader that will look to remake tradition on this campus. We'll look to move forward with regards to traditions and start embracing a climate that is diverse, that acknowledges the contributions of all individuals in the state, and look to more to become a more global campus in that sense. And so, again, just looking forward to having a new leader, looking at having a vision of inclusiveness on this campus, as well as the two other campuses that we have. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to make sure that everyone hears this, too, that the question of diversity and emphasizing its importance in this search is something we've discussed at every stage, starting with our interviews of the three search firms when they came to Urbana in October. It was important in our selection of the firm, the track record they had on that issue, and then at each one of our committee meetings, and we've emphasized in our conversations with the search firm how critical that is. The next person is Zach Poppel, who is a grad student.
Okay, hello. Thanks for the opportunity. I have a question for the panel related to the way that we're involved in the state system and the allocation of state funding. But again, I'm from the I'm a grad student here on campus. I'm in the Department of History. So my question is, the previous president acquiesced to those with an interest in underfunding this school at a state level and increased the dependence of this campus and the university system on corporate and privatized funds. I'm interested in reversing this trend and increasing the proportion of state funds used for higher education. Therefore, my question is, what are the criteria that the search committee will use to measure the likelihood that the next president will advocate for an increase of the use of existing state funds for higher education?
Let me answer as best I can. As we work on the position statement for the ideal candidate, we have included stressing the issue of advocacy, the communication skills, experience in dealing with the financial considerations of a public university. Illinois is not alone in the financial condition it finds itself in, but it is a very, very serious situation that we have in the state of Illinois. And we're probably all watching with alarm what's happening in California, and certainly hoping to avoid that very dire situation here in Illinois. But there is a terrible budget deficit in Illinois, and it doesn't just affect higher education. It affects every aspect of lives in Illinois. But it is a critical issue for higher education. I think that to be very candid in this, it is probably unrealistic for any of us, the new president or any of us, to expect any significant increase in the amount of money that we're going to be getting from the state of Illinois, because there's this terrible deficit, and right now they're spending money that they don't have. And so this is an issue that needs to be raised at every opportunity by all of us in talking to our state legislators, in making decisions about voting for candidates, making sure that we are emphasizing that this issue is critical, that we are really jeopardizing the quality of higher education in this state if we don't get at it. So the next president has to deal with this right up front, and we need to have a person who we believe can effectively do that, and then we need to have a strategy as how we're going to deal with what's happening in the state of Illinois.
So in addition to that, that might, and this is a climate for opportunity,
I think you're asking a good question, but I think these are the questions that the next president will have to face. Would probably be very appropriate for his or her first forum is to get ideas. That I'm not trying to avoid your question. It's just that's about as far as I'm able to take it today. I agree with your concern. But keep in mind, I'm only one person, too. Next, Diane Kenker, history professor. Please forgive me if I mispronounce.
It's Diane Conker.
Conker, Professor Conker, welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to participate in this public forum. And I think that I speak for most of my colleagues in the history department that this selection of a new president and the administrative selections to come have the opportunity to signal to the university and its publics the values of the University of Illinois in the 21st century. And our request is basic and simple. We seek in a president a person who will promote and defend the core mission of the university, which we see as the production of knowledge, the training of the next generation of knowledge producers through our graduate programs, and the education of a diverse body of undergraduates in both specialized skills and critical thinking ability. We recognize that this happens outside the classroom as well as inside the classroom. And we recognize that in these difficult economic times, a president needs to exert leadership in economic and budget terms. But we wish to strongly advocate that without defending the core mission of knowledge production, the university will not command respect nor deserve support. Thank you.
Thank you. The next person on the list is Emeritus Professor Stephen Kaufman. Professor Emeritus Stephen Kaufman.
Good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity. I, too, want to focus on the environment and in my remarks, focus on the environment that a presidential leader would need for success here. And you may find that a little bit of an aside, but I think it's something that should be kept in mind. Many of the problems that led to clouded admissions, such as political interference with university governance, has not gone away. And just as placing a new fish in an aquarium that has persistently failed to support it is foolish, I suggest that even the finest candidate would find it very difficult to provide the needed leadership in the current environment that allows undue influence on university governance. We need to clean the tank before putting a new fish in, is, I guess, the message I want to leave you with. I have three suggestions that pertain to that. First of all, I believe a review is in order of how the fourth mission, economic development, that was imposed on the university during the tenure of George Ryan and Gerald Shea as the chair of the Board of Trustees, how that has impacted fulfilling the traditional three missions of the university: teaching, research, and service. According to a series of articles recently in the News Gazette on the Research Park, the university spends tens of millions of dollars to benefit a few well-connected businessmen at the expense, arguably, of U of I students and its educational programs. I think that should be looked into and that we need to get back on track and of what the mission of this institution is. Secondly, although some safeguards have been implemented to guard against future clouded admissions, a more general firewall needs to be erected to shield the university from pressures from political and economic interests outside the institution. One member of the Admissions Review Commission suggested that all such contacts and their substance be made public. I believe that's an excellent idea, and I hope you consider that. That is, if you want to influence the university, that will be transparent. Thirdly, although Governor Quinn has made outstanding selections to the current Board of Trustees, an informed and politically removed mechanism for trustee selection needs to be established. One proposal has been put forth by the Urbana Campus Faculty Association, and the substance of that proposal has recently been introduced as legislation, HB 4688, by Representative Naomi Jacobson. Two important features in this legislation are the inclusion of faculty from all three campuses on the Board of Trustees and the creation of an independent trustee selection force, or trust force, to advise governors on future appointments. This proposal has the support of the UIUC Senate, and I hope you too will actively support it. I respectfully suggest that the environment for effective governance of the university must undergo these three changes in order for future leadership to be successful. Without it, intimidation, fear, and reprisal will continue to negatively impact the university and impede fulfillment of its goals. Without it, a new president will find it difficult to succeed. It's time to clean the tank. Thank you.
Thank you, Professor. Next is Ben Rothschild, an undergrad in history.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm concerned that the committee works to have a discussion with possible candidates about the use of the chief as a mascot. This issue is about creating a safe environment for all students on campus. There are still stores that sell chief gear, and that offends me and many people I know. My question is, will you search for candidates who would make a commitment to ending this form of racism? Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Miriam Larson, GEO staff. Well, we're certainly, I wasn't sure if it was a rhetorical question or not. I think we need to make sure that the next president understands the controversy that surrounded that subject. We are not going to, in any way, shape, or form, hire a person who we think would engage in any form of racism. So the whole subject of the chief is one that I do not wish to discuss today. I absolutely appreciate what you're saying, and you can be sure that we're going to let the candidates know about that issue, okay? I mean, you made a statement in your question, and I respect that, and I'm not disagreeing with it. But, you know, that's not the only subject we're here to talk about today. Miriam Larson?
Thank you. My name is Miriam, and I am on the GEO staff, the Graduate Employees Organization. I also grew up in this town, and both of my parents are professors here, so this university has been a really integral part of my life. And so this is an important decision. I have two quick questions. The first is a statement, I guess, just that in all of these economic difficulties, something that's sort of one of the most important things for me is that students in this community and across Illinois have access to this education. Tuition prices have been increasing exponentially across the country. Student debt is at the highest it's ever been in the history of this country. And I think the investments that we make now are crucial in the long term, even if it requires prioritizing access to education over other things that we might think are important. The second question is, I'm wondering, you know, I really appreciate this session. I think it's great to have the opportunity for people to give feedback. We are approaching, however, a break for students. And so I'm wondering, I would like to request that no decisions be made during this period, and would like to know when future sort of listening sessions or what future kinds of input students in particular, as well as the campus community and the community at large, will be able to have into the process, especially as candidates, as we have sort of more particular sense of what candidates we're looking at. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me respond to your last comment about the timeline and the process. This is where it gets pretty sensitive, because right now we're at the opening of it. We have a very wide funnel. And we not only are welcoming and soliciting comments about the qualities and the characteristics, but we're also saying if you actually have the name of any person you think should be in our field, you should be providing us with that name too. And then the search firm keeps the database for us and starts the process of the research and the preparing the information on the candidates. You can imagine that probably all of the candidates we are going to be interested in are currently employed. And they're probably employed in positions that they really like, that are very satisfying, that they don't want to jeopardize if they're not ultimately selected for our position. So even though we will have as open a process as any university could ever have, you've reached a point in the delicate balance where you have to be confidential. Because if we started telling the world who our candidates were, we would probably lose 90% of them. They would say, I'm not a candidate, because they do not want to jeopardize their current employment. And that is just the way it goes. If you can put yourself in their situations, that is the way it goes. And so there won't come a time, and I don't want to leave a misimpression, there won't come a time when we circulate a list of candidates and have forums where we're asking people to give us feedback on that. That's where the committee is really doing its hard work. And that's why we have a 19-person committee, which is actually very large for this kind of a process, but it has to be that way because we have to have representation from all parts of the university. So there are students on the committee, there are faculty, there are staff, there are trustees, and we need to push against each other as we bring our collective wisdom and experience to assessing the candidates. So we're going to post as much information as we can. There's going to be a website. We're going to go give status updates along the way as to where we are in the process. But we will reach that point where people will really want more information than we're able to give, because otherwise we'll jeopardize our ultimate goal, which is to get the very, very best person in the world into this new position.
Will there be future forums? Or?
Right now we haven't planned that. If we think that, you know, that would be helpful at some stage, then of course we will. And I would expect, although I can't speak for the whole board, I know that's the way we're operating, so my guess is that you'll see similar forums for on other subjects or for the whole Board of Trustees where we can do these listening sessions. Next on the list is, Karen Lichtman, linguistics grad.
That's right. I'm a graduate student in linguistics and also a TA, and I came to encourage the committee to select a candidate that is willing to refocus the university's resources that we already have, resources that sometimes are going to research parks and global campuses and new administrative space for Huff Hall. We have a great deal of financial resources, and I would like them to be refocused on teaching, which I think is the core mission of any university, teaching undergraduate students, teaching grad students. We can do this in addition to trying to get more state funding, which is also very important, but we already have resources, and I think more of these should be directed to teaching. Of course, research is also very important to the university, but I would argue that there are no shortage of rewards for research, publication, fame, tenure, those sort of things. But a focus on teaching, I think, really needs to come from our leadership, from our next president. And what happens when teaching is underfunded, which happens all the time, is that, I'm told by my supervisor, we can't pay you more. Just try to spend less time on your classes. And I don't think, I think when my labor, all the labor that I need to do to prepare the best classes that I can for my students, when that labor is recognized as a top priority and when that labor is fairly compensated, then I and all the undergraduate, graduate, professors, all of us can have the opportunity to prepare the best classes for our students. So I would just like to see a president who puts not just the rhetorical priority of the university, but also the financial priority of the university on teaching.
Thank you. Thank you. Next is Carlos Rosa, an undergrad in poli-sci and student senator.
Good afternoon. As already said, my name is Carlos Daniel Rosa. I'm a junior in political science and Latino-Latina studies, and I represent liberal arts sciences, specifically the social sciences, in the Student Senate. So I want to speak on two issues that are very, very important to my fellow classmates, and specifically those that I speak with, which are my constituents in the social sciences majors. The first one is tuition. I cannot stress enough that me and my classmates, we want a president at this university that is ready to chop at the top and not chop down the number of students that can afford to attend this institution. The second issue is one that was spoken to already, but that is so important to me and my fellow classmates that it has to be spoken to again. And that is the issue of minority recruitment and retainment. Mm-hmm. Or as it's commonly spoken to, diversity, at the University of Illinois, and specifically at this campus. It is an utter travesty that 1 year after the landmark anniversary of Project 500 at this campus, which brought 500 students of African-American descent to this campus, that the number of freshmen African-American students in the freshman class dropped below 500. That is an utter travesty. That is a disgrace for this campus. And so my question is, specifically, what criteria for minority retention will be part of the dialogue between you and the candidates in the presidential search? And secondly, how will you evaluate the candidates based on their answers to these criteria?
We will talk about that issue with them. We have not developed criteria, but that will be a very important issue that we will talk with the candidates about. Anthony Larson, an undergrad in ACIS Environmental Econ. ACES.
Yep, that's it. So my name's Anthony Larson. I also represent, I'm the president of Students for Environmental Concerns here on campus. We've been around since 1969, working hard to make sure that we have a better future. In the coming days, all the world's leaders are going to gather together in Copenhagen, mm-hmm. and they're going to talk about one of the most important issues that facing us today, and it faces us well into the future, and that's climate change. And a big, big component of that is our energy usage. As a university, I would hope that we would seek a president that would be forward-thinking on these issues and make them a priority. As a research university, we tend to lead the world, and we take those steps, and we do the hard work that enables us to solve great challenges. But also, we have to address the energy issues that face us here on this campus. The university has amassed an energy debt of around $120 million in recent years. In addition, energy costs for this campus continue to cost about $70 million. That's about $1,500 per student. That's pretty significant. Also, energy costs are expected to rise. When Blue Waters comes online, it should increase energy usage by 30%. These are very important issues that we need to take care of now. The university can expect that some sort of climate legislation will happen, and it would be in our best interest for students, for faculty, and for the overall general health, fiscal health of the university to address these challenges. Please make that a priority. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Andrea Rosales, undergrad in LAS.
Hello. Well, my question was already addressed by a previous peer, but I guess to reiterate again, my question was about the current economic crisis and its effect on the recruitment and retention of minority students here on campus, particularly the lack of accessibility here on campus for students of lower and working class backgrounds. So if you could maybe reiterate again your plans for providing support. And
well, I would put that into the category of making sure that the new president recognizes the situation and also has the skills, and that's a wide array of skills, from communication skills, advocacy, analysis, relationship building, but a person who can address the crisis that is either right with us or right upon us, providing affordable, accessible public education at all levels, but particularly here at the University of Illinois. And minority, the effect on our minority recruitment is one aspect of it that's very important, but it's also just part of that financial picture and making sure that we have the resources, or reallocate, as some people have said, that we're allocating the resources we have in the right ways. Next is Kristen Hoganson, LAS.
To listen to us today. So there are 4 points that I want to touch on in terms of things that I think as a professor in LAS would be of great interest in having our future president. The first is somebody who would be a powerful spokesperson for the value of publicly supported higher education, which speaks to the issues of accessibility that we've been hearing in the course of the meeting today, including the value of a liberal arts education and also the humanities within that wider enterprise. And then beyond this, somebody who would be a spokesperson for the value of basic research, so beyond our teaching mission. Second, somebody who's willing to resist the corporatization of the university in a time of, as we all know, very tight funding. Somebody who would be interested in reducing administrative costs to free up resources for our basic missions of teaching and research. Third, somebody who understands the value of what we do as being something that extends beyond economic growth to include fostering participatory democracy, informed global citizenship, a robust civic culture, and individual intellectual and personal growth and enrichment. And then finally, in speaking about this campus in particular, I think we need somebody who understands that this campus is suffering from an unprecedented crisis of morale, and who would be active in you know, addressing the turmoil on the lack of leadership that this campus has had recently. Thank you.
Thank you. Mark Steinberg from the History Department. Hello.
Hello. Thank you again for holding this forum. And what I'll say is now going to begin to sound reiterative, which is inevitable. At this stage, but I think it also emphasizes trends that are quite consistent. Most importantly, we're talking about a president, many people are, that offers leadership, which is to say not just skills in being a leader, but a real vision, which includes an understanding of what this university has been and can continue to be, which means in particular someone, as others have said, who understands and I would say can return us, because there has been a sort of loss of direction, can return us to core values and mission of this university, which means not only, as has tended to happen in recent years, as others have suggested, not only a university that contributes to the economic development of the state of Illinois, of the United States, which is to say contributing technological innovation, job and professional training, all of which are certainly valuable, but can especially reinforce and return us to the core mission of the university, which in some ways could be understood as training citizens, educating citizens, not just economic citizens, but social citizens, political citizens, cultural, and especially, one might say, ethical citizens, both of our state and of our nation, and global citizens. And in particular, this means, as others have said, offering students and the community, because part of this is also reaching beyond the university and our own students, knowledge, diverse knowledge, knowledge of diverse situations and conditions, but also the skills and abilities in critical thinking, the ability to challenge what is presented to us as convention, to teach people to think as critically informed citizens. In other words, one might say part of this is actually to remember that part of the core mission of the university is not radically different from those that other schools that might be called liberal arts educations. In other words, the liberal education is also part of the core mission of a gigantic state research university, and that includes, of course, in thinking internationally, thinking interdisciplinarily, thinking critically. And I just want to reiterate, in my 14 years here, I've seen this gradually eroded as we've lost sight of the, one might say, liberal mission of educating critically minded citizens. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Smikman Sharma. That was probably, let's see, LAS.
Thank you for this opportunity. I had a question. Whether the search panel will focus on finding a candidate who values long-term planning, especially in relation to investment in energy conservation, our role in renewable energy research, and in general, a focus to try to make our campus carbon neutral? And if yes, then what kind of criterions will the panel be looking at? Thanks.
Thank you. And this is probably a very good example of a new factor that we can incorporate, which is the emphasis on energy issues affecting the university. And I say that without picking one, but you know, the broad spectrum of issues, whether it comes into the cost structure, whether it comes into the environment, the importance of alternative energy, all of that is not something that we had explicitly put in to the criteria, and I'll bring that back to the committee. So for those of you who raised that, thank you. Matt Rundquist. NRES.
Hi there. My name is Matt Rundquist. I'm a sophomore in the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Sciences, College of ACES, and I'm also an officer in the club Students for Environmental Concerns. I'm afraid things are starting to get a little redundant, but I'd like to talk for a minute about energy sustainability, and I'll keep it brief. Anthony spoke earlier on the academic logic, or the economic logic behind investing in sustainability. I'd like to briefly mention the widespread student support for a sustainable campus environment and the general feeling that we can, as a university system, become leaders in sustainability and really make an impact on our natural environment. I just would like to ask if you've considered requiring a background in environmental leadership and vision, as well as the ability and will to bring about an environmentally sustainable campus, and a sustainable campus community in a reasonable time frame, mostly placing emphasis on former leadership in environmental issues and energy issues, and comprehensive vision for a sustainable campus.
And thank you very much. The answer to your particular question is no, but not out of a desire to exclude that. Just we have not tried to identify any one area of expertise or background above any others. But I do respect the point that you're making. Thank you. Ross Polk, LAS, or Pollock? Gone. George Gollin. Physics? Hello.
Thank you for a chance to offer some comments. I actually want to speak to the skills and attributes that a successful president might have, so I'm speaking to the search committee. One is that I think it's good that the president have a certain sensitivity to the importance of narrative in how events unfold. I need to explain what I mean by that. I find that in many circumstances, the way policy unfolds, the way we make decisions, is very much influenced not by facts and analyses so much, but by the narratives that we have that are out there. An example in higher ed is the view that's widely held of what a research university is like outside of academia. For example, professors are often thought to be disengaged with their students, preferring to work on their research projects at the neglect of students. It's very hard for facts and analyses to change narratives, and they really do seem to guide, nonetheless, how we prioritize things out there in the world. The healthcare debate is a good example of where narrative rather than information and fact is playing a strong role in the decision making. So I think a successful president might be someone who will be able to influence the narratives that are out there, be aware of them, try to shape them, redirect them so that rather than just flinging facts and descriptions of possible outcomes at problems, the person will also be able to deal with the nuances of how people think, which is not strongly influenced by facts. So one attribute then, one skill would be sensitive to narrative. Another then is that we find that many circumstances are extraordinarily complex, and as I think as a species, it's very difficult for us to organize ourselves in ways which will allow the management of a group to uptake information and make decisions using the resources for evaluating what they're hearing, that they actually have the ability to obtain. I didn't say that very clearly, but an example would be how General Motors in the mid-70s responded or failed to respond to competition from Japanese automakers who were beginning to produce small cars. GM, in spite of its resources to go out and seek good advice, seek ways to measure possible outcomes, see things setting up and predict whether their decisions were good or bad, they didn't really muster the resources to have many different minds participating in the decision-making process. I don't know how one does it, but we see so many cases where an inability of a complex situation to be evaluated astutely by an administration has caused problems, that a good president, a successful president, might be someone who's able to feel his or her way through the process of learning how to uptake lots of information in complex circumstances and try to evaluate how to use it successfully. These are rather abstract points, but they're about what the president should be good at doing and how the person might think. A third point is that I think there may be a temptation to think in terms of incremental adjustments one can make to increase efficiencies, to manage around the fringes small issues. But I think that sometimes the greatest changes we see in, for example, in how our civilization functions, those come about through thinking in new ways, inventing Social Security or Medicare, doing something that is not at all a perturbative, a small incremental change, but something rather bold that at first may sound like something that is just a crackpot idea. So I think an ability to think in terms of transformation as well as how to manage the crises at hand successfully is an important attribute. We are at a great research university. Might there be consideration of how a research university could be embedded differently in Western civilization? That's quite different from what we have now. A willingness to have some intellectual sport with thinking big, I think, is an important attribute. And the last one is that I think it's difficult for busy people, faculty and administration, to realize how the administration might utilize the pool of talent present in the faculty. Us, we professors, we're really busy with the stuff that we do every day, every week, and many of us really are completely ignorant of how interesting the challenges in higher ed administration are, for example, in policy formulation. I think it's difficult often for administrations to get past the herd of cats mentality that many of my colleagues and I have, and our self-indulgence and our willingness to think in sloppy terms and cause us to actually engage with problems that our different perspectives might have. So I think someone who is able to get around the silly behavior of professors and get us to think about some of the interesting challenges might take the thousands of us who are here and have someone come forth with a transformative idea. So I would encourage you to find someone who is not so put off by the bad behavior of his or her professors that they don't engage with us. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Kayla Talley, LAS undergrad. Hello.
My name is Kayla Talley. I'm an undergrad. I'm a freshman in liberal arts and sciences. I don't have any fancy titles. I'm just a student. I have a question in regards to the transparency of this process. As was mentioned earlier, it seems to me now that this is a fairly closed process, and while this forum is an opportunity that I appreciate and I'm readily taking advantage of, I'm concerned about how the people here, members of the university community, will be able to see that our input is being taken into account. You've said that you cannot reveal the identity of candidates at really any point in this process up until they are hired, with the only reason being that that's just the way that it is. And for us to put ourselves into a potential new president's shoes about their job being put into jeopardy. That being said, who the new president of the university is something in which I and many of the people here have a vested interest. And while I respect that many of these candidates may already be employed and have to think about their existing jobs as well as the job that they are contending for, the president is a person who will be making many decisions that will directly affect myself and others, such as budget and tuition cost. My question is, will you provide us, the public, with any information regarding potential candidates, anonymous or otherwise, regarding their position on the issues that have been and will be raised here today?
I can't give you any more of an answer than I did, and you're not going to be happy with what I say, because we will hit the point where when we're talking about the actual candidates, we're not going to be publicizing what their views are or what their identities are. That's why we have a search committee. And I apologize to you if I sounded flip when I said that's just the way it is. I didn't mean to. What I meant to convey is that our number one priority is to get the best person. And what we know, those of us who have had experience in searches in lots of different realms, not just me, but lots of people on the committee have, and what the search experts say is the number one reason why a university or a company or any organization doing a search loses its top candidate is because of this, because the word gets out that that person has talked to a potential new employer, and that is so risky for the person right there because they don't know that they're going to get that job. They're just one of perhaps many candidates. And so to preserve what they have, they say, I am not a candidate. And at that point, their integrity would be in question if they kept themselves in the race, so they take themselves out. So I wish that there were a way that we could make everybody happy that they had the input. I can't do that. And that's why we have a committee, and that's why I hope that at the end of the day when we make the announcement and when you see who this committee and who ultimately it's the Board of Trustees who will appoint the new president, I hope that we will all feel that we have selected a new outstanding leader. But that's the way we're going to do it.
Thank you.
Next is Patrick Thompson.
Hi. Good afternoon. My name is Patrick Thompson, and I'm a community resident. I have a few questions and a few comments. One is, you said the search committee that you guys are going to be hiring to look at a new president. Will you guys be able to allow us or make available that committee, the search committee, and some of the candidates that they have selected to be candidates for the president. I would like to know if that would be available to us, specifically concerned about what kind of representation will the university and the president be looking at. Will there be any minority candidates in there? And will there be quality minority candidates in there? Another thing is that, reason why I'm saying this is because I know the university is a land-grant institution, and they are the biggest employee here in Champaign-Urbana. And we have a lot of, in the urban community, we have a lot of issues with education. And we want to be able to see more. And there's a strategic plan in civic engagement, and we'd like to see more of that, you know, going on in the local community. We'd like to see more of our young kids being able to come to the university and have access to the university. I run an after-school program for young at-risk minority youth, and it's a challenge, and it's a lot of work. We have about 95% of our African-American males in the local community here, and the only careers that they are interested in is either athletic, being an athlete, or rappers. And that's the reality of things. And it takes a lot of work to get that type of mentality changed around, get them motivated, you know, self-esteem. So we want to see some initiatives. We want to see somebody that has a strong background in developing those kind of things in the community, more university coming into the community, having a more active role. I believe there was a quote from my acting president that education was important. And without education, you know, most people were poverty and prison. And that is what we have going on in our local community here. High rates, at a very high rate. Dropout, you know, being incarcerated in the penal institution is very, very high. We need to start very, very young. We need somebody strong that's going to understand that. I'd like to see more of our young youth. So although I'm only bringing 10 to 15 over here, we got graduate students, minority graduate students that have been working with them. We've been doing this for 5-6 years now. Very, very, very good program. It's working. The students love it. The grad students love it. You know, engaging the parents, all that stuff, it takes a lot of work, a lot of resources. And we want to see somebody that has that qualification, has that understanding to expand on that as well. So that would be my concern. That would be some of my issues, as well as knowing if the search committee, what kind of quality, have they in the past been able to actually seek out, you know, minorities and African American candidates that have been presidents or are qualified to be president? So I'll leave you with that.
Thank you very much. And I. You made some important points, and we did at our meeting yesterday talk about the issue of engagement within the community. So that is something that we will have as a factor in what we're looking at as we look at candidates. In response to your question about the minority applicants or the candidates, that was very important to us in picking the search firm. We asked very pointed questions when we were interviewing the three search firms about their track records. And we believe that in picking Isaacson Miller, we have a firm that has a very fine track record in finding, recruiting, and hiring highly qualified minority candidates into high-level academic positions. We also have made a very firm commitment to ensuring that our field has highly qualified minority candidates, and that's not just at the initial stages, but at each stage. We're very, very committed to that point. So thank you for raising it. Next on the list is Harriet Murray or Murav in LAS. I apologize on the last name.
I'm Harriet Murav.
Murav,
I'm a professor
hello.
In comparative literature and Slavic, and I also represent heads from English history, art history, and the Humanities Institute, and we have four points, but I want to make one procedural point. A little sunshine would raise morale of the ethically challenged University of Illinois. If you can't give us names of candidates, solicit their vision statements, purge them of identifying features, and post them on the web. When you say they might lose their job if we know who they are, that suggests they're not professors, but CEOs. And that's point number one. We don't want a CEO. We want a president who has experience teaching and working with students. And that... So just to reiterate, shed a little light on the process, model the transparency that we want to see from the next president. So point one, the president should not be a CEO. Point two, the president should recognize that the faculty have expertise. We have Nobel Prize winners, Pulitzer Prize winners, and I'm not going to name all the prizes. Where are we in the deliberative process? Why go to firms? Why do we always hire outside consultants? Why don't you talk to us? We have something at stake in this institution. Point two, the president, who is not a CEO, is more likely to recognize and have a vision of, not just skills at, but a vision of the need for global, diverse, literate citizens capable of evaluating critically a text, a document, an image, a set of numbers. In other words, the president has to have a vision of the core mission in fundamental knowledge and fundamental research at this campus. We don't need a climbing rock. We need teachers and students in classroom spaces. A subpoint, the university has got to be distinct and separate from the marketplace. We're not producing products here. We're teaching people. We're learning. And I've learned a tremendous amount from my fellow faculty, from the community members, and from our incredible students just today. We are separate from the marketplace. We want a president who can talk that language. And to that end, we want a president who recognizes the role of the liberal arts and especially of the humanities in creating that diverse, that literate, that ethical community that this university has been in the past and is in danger of not being anymore in the future.
Next is Amy Allen.
Hi, can you hear me?
A little bit louder.
My name is Amy Allen. I'm a sophomore in civil engineering and a member of SECS, along with these lovely people in tie-dye. No matter the type of leader that we choose or their background, our willingness to engage with students and faculty and listen to their ideas is essential for them to be successful. Recent events have shown us the importance of transparency and how our leaders make decisions for the university. At this time last year, the university canceled plans for a wind turbine that had been in development for several years without input from students or other stakeholders, despite the fact that a student committee had provided a significant amount of the funding. I can't speak for everyone who is involved in the effort, but I myself know that if the university had at least made more of an effort to engage with us and cooperate, even if we had to scale back our original plans, it would have been a much happier result for everyone. Have you made a willingness to engage with students and the community members a priority in your search criteria?
I'm not sure that I understand what the question is. Have we what?
Have you made engaging with students a priority in your search criteria?
That we want the next president to be someone who engages with the students?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you very much. Those are all the names of people who signed up, but let me welcome anyone else who wishes to come to the microphone who didn't get a chance to sign the list to please come forward. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you for your time. Thank you for how much you care. This is a listening session, as some people have called it, and you talked, and I listened. The other committee members listened. This will be very, very helpful in our process. I look forward to the day when we bring a new president to you, and we are all committed to making sure that we identify a truly outstanding new leader for this great university. Thank you very much for being here.